to me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
All right, guys, welcome into Unpaved. Adam Sager, I'm Sean Salisbury, at Adam G. Sager, at Sean Unfiltered. Like us and subscribe to Unpaved Sean Salisbury on YouTube. 2026 is going to be epic as our growth continues because of you. Thanks for joining us. Great to be along. Sags, we got so much to cover, and we are going to roll rapid fire today, but we'll have another show tomorrow at noon, getting you into your New Year's Eve. And if you have a resolution or two, we'd love you when you come on in to let us know. Are you more of a motivation person? Or are you more of a disciplined person? In truth, we'll have some fun with that tomorrow, but there's a lot to cover. Coaches looking, forcing themselves to like get fired. I mean, with stupidity and some of the things they say, coaches that have been head coaches and coordinators, like four jobs in 2 years. And now he's back in the Big Ten. And we start last night, said right off the bat, Sags, before we get to talking a little Augusta Precious Metals here, right off the bat, that if you don't stop Bijan Robinson, you're going to allow them to flirt with you and hang around. Make them one-dimensional, you dominate the game. They fought back. That's not enough. We don't give, you know, lifetime achievement awards or, yeah, hey, sit around and sing Kumbaya because, well, we got close and we came back. The Rams have done this year. And defense like that last night against the run game is going to cost them a Super Bowl appearance if they're not careful. I understand. Hey, man, everybody gets a trophy. You came back and made it close, but not close enough because the L and the W matter. Sags, good to see you. I'm a little surprised at some of the things the Rams do. I understand the levity and the lack thereof of a game, not winning the division, but they still matter. We wouldn't play the sons of bitches. You know what I'm saying, Sags? And I thought the Rams floundered. And I know that JB yesterday said the MVP award's over to Stafford. And I get that. I think it's going to be closer with the 50 voters than they think. And I think the guy in New England, regardless of who they played, is going to hang around. Those two are finishing 1-2. Three picks last night put Matt Stafford not in the chase mode, but it brought them closer together.
Yeah, 100% brought them closer together. I was watching that game, and yeah, I know he had probably two touchdowns taken away, some big missed calls there. But, I mean, Matt Stafford has not looked sharp over these last, say, five games or so. He's been up and down, and that's scary going into the playoffs, especially when you're going to face either an Eagles team that has a really good young defense that flies around or a Chicago Bears team that leads the NFL in turnovers and interceptions. I think they've got like 25 interceptions this year. So I'd be a little concerned. The Rams aren't scaring me as much as I thought they would going into this playoff as a Bears fan, if that's who they end up playing.
Amen. And Sags, you know about that, I start to look at, regardless what the overall stats say, you don't have to look at a card, look at stats to understand the eye test if you're passionate and watch football like we do and sports. One, I start to think about a few teams that are coming to mind. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Rams, the 49ers. Teams that going in, held in the highest regard going into this season that we thought, really good, solid defenses and quarterback play and offense is doing enough. Of those teams, I just named, I don't care if it's an injury, lack thereof, attrition, poor performance. Those teams I just named, that's just five examples of teams that should be Super Bowl teams that have an easy chance to be eliminated if their defenses don't start getting their ass and their act together. Because what happens when you get to the playoffs, like in baseball, you don't just face their 4 and 5 in a three-game series because the rotation has led you to 3, 4, and 5. You're getting their best every week, and that quarterback gets to play every game. So you're running into, oh, my number one every week. You don't get the luxury of facing that. In the postseason, you're running into, who are you running into, Sags? Otani, or you're running into DeGrom and Otani if they're on the same roster. You're running in to Fromber and Verlander when they were on the same roster, when Verlander was in his prime. You're running into the top two dogs wherever they are. You know what I'm saying? That's what you're getting for the most part. And in this play, you're going to get everybody's defenses best, or at least you'd hope so, as well as quarterback play. You're hoping those pressure guys. So those teams that are allowing you to score 36 and 38 and 40 against them and in the high 20s, what happens if you have a day when your quarterback turns it over three times like last night? Regardless of whose fault this, because you know my affinity and love for Stafford. I still think he's going to win it. But they care more about the postseason than they do any MVP award. But all the pomp and circumstance, if you can't get off the field and stop a guy from rush gashing you for about two bills, because I can tell you one thing, if Baltimore gets in, these great teams that have good quarterback play will still lean on the run game and test your ass and test your mettle in the postseason. We'll talk about that and more as we roll through. We got an energy-filled show today, as we do every day. Grateful to have you in. Augusta Precious Metals. Guys, I put a post up yesterday about Augusta Precious Metals on social media. And on Facebook, I got a lot of feedback. And you know what I was shocked at? Pleasantly surprised at what the gold market now has done with just people that are not millionaires, for some millionaires, that are not, you know, that maybe middle class, maybe struggling, maybe paycheck to paycheck, that have built to this, that are on the same page I am now, saying, Sean, I bought into this a few years ago because I told them I was late to the party, but I'm so all in. Augusta Precious Metals, we're a $40 trillion debt company in 2026. But gold is still on the rise, and it's going to continue to crush in 2026 if you've done your education and looked into it, because I love to study stuff I don't know shit about. And I'm starting to learn more about this, and Augusta Precious Metals has been a great teacher. They've been a great guide, and they got a free guide called the $40 Trillion Threat Report. If you'll just text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052, it'll rear its head and just give you a little teach. Just like standing behind a guy who's got a putt, the six-footer, and you got to win the tournament, read the teach so they can educate you, and then you can dive all in, because I'm just telling you, if gold and precious metals are not part of your future, and getting to Augusta Precious Metals, who I've been involved with a bunch of them, meaning talking to them, this is the top shelf when it comes to precious metals. Do your due diligence. Don't get left behind. You want confidence in, well, even if you're not retired, I don't care if you're 35 or 70. Getting started earlier usually helps, but precious metals and not relying on Washington and tangible assets are literal gold. And you don't have to pan for it. Augusta Precious Metals has done that for you. Now go get educated and realize. So text 35052. Text Sean to 35052. That's Sean to 35052. There is a link in the description. Hit on that. Go in and educate yourself, because I'm telling you, if you will do what I'm going to do and jump, when I say all in, be very significant and very calculated with your jump into this, and very make sure it's one of those things that I have got to be a part of this. If it's not on your priorities in 2026, precious metals, you're making a mistake. Augusta Precious Metals, text Sean to 35052 and start to gain confidence in living it and in your retirement or moving towards retirement, because nobody wants to have to rely on the dollar or the government to put you in a position of security and confidence and peace of mind, and that matters. Augusta Precious Metals.
All right, Sean, last night, I mean, we talked about it briefly there, but we felt very confident that the Rams were going to come out and kind of play good and kind of show, get playing in the right direction. Now they're 2-3 in their last five games. This, Matt Stafford isn't playing great. He's up and down. The team's up and down. I thought something last night that really bothered me about the Rams' game plan that has worked recently is using both Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. I think Blake Corum only had five or six carries in the game. And it's just, I feel like some of these coaches just kind of get in their own way. They see stuff that works, and then it's like, oh, let's do this and change it a little bit. And it's like, well, that don't work. And it's just, you feel like the Rams are kind of doing that to themselves. And you expect Sean McVay, who's arguably one of the best coaches in the league, to not get in his own way. But over these last month or so, he has been. And you could tell last night they let Bijan get going, and then he took over the game, and the Rams got back in it, but it never really felt that close to me, in my opinion.
Success in one element can create complacency in another. That's the problem. You want success, but what it can do, whether they admit it or not. First off, we're at a time in college and NFL where coaches, even great ones, get too cute. I'm talking about McVay. I'm talking about Dan Campbell, I'm talking about Andy Reid, they'll get too cute. Why? Because they've had success at times being too cute and not relied on the success that they need to extend. Now, listen, they're coaching them. They got Super Bowl rings. Dan Campbell doesn't, but Andy Reid, Sean McVay, We've seen it with Ben Johnson. We see it all the time. We see it on College Football Saturdays, that being cute or leaning on something. Here's what the Rams, and I fully believe this in watching them. I think they think that no matter what goes on offensively, that Puka and Stafford will bail us out. I believe that. And so sometimes you maybe after a couple three and outs or something, you abandon what you know you're going to have to lean on in January and February to get to February and win the thing, that you're going to have to lean on it. And your quarterback's going to have to make plays. You're going to have to get defensive stops. But there's no team in this league, not the Patriots, not the Rams, not the 49ers, not Joe Sixpack, Harry Hatchnax, not the 70, well, maybe the mid-70s Steelers. Nobody can turn it on and off like a light switch and dominate their opponent. We see it every week. The Saints beat Carolina. The Saints will beat Tampa. Then we see Buffalo getting beat by Atlanta. Then Atlanta beating the Rams. The Rams getting beat by, I mean, it happens all the time. And that's why every, hey, what do you think about this one? Well, this should be pretty easy, right? Well, they're pros. The difference between the Atlanta Falcons and the Rams is this. Great quarterback play, two or three extra really good players in about six plays a game. And that was the case last night. The great player, usually you want the great quarterback. Cousins was efficient. You lean on, when you rush for a buck 96 or right around 200, you're winning most games if that's one cat. So he was a star, two or three plays. The review on Puka didn't work. Getting a few plays called back. A couple picks for Stafford. There's five or six plays. Ball game over. A team that's going to be watching you play in the postseason. They got it done and you didn't. And so they're the fine line. Look what a quarterback and some confidence has done for the Saints, who are, their roster is putrid when it comes to the depth of it. They need about five players to be five players away from being five players away. Yet they're winning again. Why? Solid quarterback play. More versatile and not getting too cute, which Kellen Moore's done in his past. Yep. So you too cute and not getting it done when it comes to the things that are really going to sustain you. Protect the ball, stop the run, run the football, and make sure your quarterback's efficient. Those things, and I didn't say spectacular, I said efficient. I go back in time. Spectacular, it's great if you get it. But Tom Brady threw for 505 yards in a Super Bowl and lost to Nick Foles. They ran it better. They were more efficient. And guess what they did? Got a key turnover at midfield at the right time on a final drive. It exists every year. And these teams you're talking about, the Rams in particular, the Rams aren't good enough to turn it on and off like a light switch. Their division alone's enough to eliminate them.
Right.
So yes, they have got to pick it up. As much as I love them, they got to play better. And that's why we play 17 of them. They still got one more to go. And their 16th game wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So they better get their confidence back or they'll be an early out if they don't defend the run.
Yeah, and I did forget Blake Corum left that game with an ankle injury.
With an injury. He got he got hurt. That's what I was going to say, Segs.
Yeah.
He got hurt early, and so they kind of went away from him, obviously.
But the other running back in this game, Bijan Robinson, you mentioned it, 22 carries, 195 yards, a touchdown on the ground, had five catches, 35, 34 yards, whatever it was, and a touchdown through the air, was the best player on the field last night, and that's what you can't do when you face a team like the Falcons who have this top-tier guy that can take over a game. If you don't let that happen, you should win. They weren't able to do it, and he was awesome last night. And where do you have him when it comes to the top backs in this league with Barkley, McCaffrey, and others? Where do you have Bijan Robinson right now?
We know the names and the faces on the in the team picture. Him, Barkley, McCaffrey, Cook, about five or six of them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the. They could go anywhere, any system, and play well. You watched Derrick Henry last night. Don't put his demise in order. As long as he protects the football and you hand it to him, he gets better as the game goes on. If I'm starting, so those guys are all in, depending on the system they're playing in and who does. I'm always looking for a three-down back that can run it, block it, and catch it, Segs. Yeah. That's the number one priority for me. I'm going to tell you now, with all due respect to Barkley and McCaffrey and the rest of it, say, Sean, for the next five, six, 7 years, you got one back you got to lean on. Okay. And you get a first running back taken in this draft of the current players in the NFL. You know how long it's going to take me to take Bijan Robinson? About 3 seconds. Give me him first.
Yeah.
I didn't say next week. I'm talking about if I'm building and I got a team and I say I need a guy who's big, fast, physical, home run hitter that can handle punishment, catch the ball out of the backfield, and it loves playing this shit. That loves it. If we were given running backs MVPs, that would be a future most valuable player in this league. He will be an offensive player of the year in this league. And he will, long as he stays healthy for the next 5 to 7 years, if I'm picking, I'm starting with him because at some point in time, the capabilities of 100 catches and 100 and 80 to 100 catches and 1,000 yards receiving, Roger Craig with more speed. I was a teammate of Roger Craig's. This cat right here. I'm just telling you, 5 to 7 years, I think that's the best all-around back in the league for the next 7 years. Right now, I'll take McCaffrey any day. He's a workhorse. And Bijan, you give it to him 30 times, he's still good to go 35 times. Playing space, play between the tackles. I'll take that guy at the top of my list of current running backs when it comes to who I would take.
Big news coming out of New England. Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs has been charged with felony strangulation and misdemeanor assault up there just outside of Boston. Not good. He is categorically denying all charges. He talked to the Patriots about it. He talked to the league. He is denying all these allegations. We don't have a ton of information yet. The courts are still doing their thing, but this is not good for your best receiver in New England, for the young Drake May, as we're getting ready to go into the playoffs. This is a distraction that's not needed for Mike Vrabel, not needed for the New England Patriots, and not needed for Drake May heading into, you know, the playoffs, what, not this weekend, the weekend after.
Segs, for me, you know I hate this, right? Not because I hate this, because the he said, she said, mm-hmm. we're going to get some people that are going to want Stephon Diggs put in jail for 100 years, right? And then have to backtrack if something happens where they say, oh, and first of all, you mentioned the word misdemeanor, right? The misdemeanor at first. So good place to start. Then you're going to get the other side that says, it's all the woman's fault. What's she doing? If it's false, accusations, she should. And I'm with them on that too. I'm so tired of accusations that we end up finding out they're false, and that person just walks away free, other than the embarrassment that they caused and the other person's reputation is damaged. Now, so I'm always charged, and the rest of it, I'm always leery to bury somebody or not criticize them. Well, because they're athletes, we can't do that. That's my guy. Or man, we weren't there. How do we know what? How do we knows and whys? All that being aside, keep your fucking hands off women. The bottom line, we wouldn't have this conversation. Now, there's been those accusations where the guy hasn't done anything. The girl punches him in the face. You know what? My suggestion is turn and sprint out the door and deal with the punch to the face. Tell your buddies you fell, that a woman didn't hit you in the face, and get out, because you can't win here. I don't know what happened here. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if he put his hands or grabbed him by the... You're to the point now, dude, you're working in corporate America and you stick your hand on somebody's back and say, it's great to meet you. You're screwed. Yet then when you're rude and don't say a word, boom, you're screwed because, oh, he's a malcontent in the workplace because he doesn't talk to anybody. Yeah. Yet when you talk to somebody, you're flirting, which means flirting, you're doing this, and you go out and have a drink. And next thing, I don't know about all this. I do know this. It's real simple to stop all this. About this part, keep your hands off women and kids and move your ass on. I don't know what Diggs did. I don't know what the woman did. I wasn't there. I don't know. And all the speculation, and we'll eventually know. But I can tell you this, because I'm sure he's adamant, as you said, and she will be too. Enough. The best way to do this is keep your hands off them. Even if you think it's innocent, keep your hands off it. Get to the point where, damn, you may just have to be single. I don't know whose fault it is. I just know this. All the time, a lot of times it starts with some booze, or it starts with somebody challenging somebody, however it goes in. I can't say anything to this because I've never been involved in anything like this. Because you know what? One thing, I ain't putting my hands on a woman, period. Hell, getting to the point, even if you're making love to him, maybe you want to throw your hands up in the air like, nope, I ain't no hands on you. But I don't want to make, I'm not making,
yeah, but then it's just like the NFL. Then you fall with your body weight on them, and it's still
that, right? We got to penalize you there, right? Misdemeanor fall on the girl because you lost your balance because you didn't have your hands braced. But in all seriousness, just keep your damn hand. I'm not just talking about him, anybody. It can stop this real quick and all the chaos and embarrassment you face and legal problems you may face. Don't touch them, even if they touch you, get your ass out, because usually everybody's compassion is not going to go to the dude. It's going to go to the woman, regardless of whose fault it was. Quit putting your hands on women, no matter who you are. Leave the shit alone. Stop it. Man,
here's one thing. when I was reading a story about this, and Diggs' attorney, Michael DeStefano, was in, made an appearance in district court there up by Boston. He disclosed to the court that Diggs has made a financial offer to resolve this dispute with the alleged victim in this case. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just, hey, give her some money and get her away. I didn't do anything, but I don't want to deal with this headache. But normally when you're trying to throw money at the problem, normally something happened. I'm not trying to read too much into it, but when I read that sentence, I was just like, I don't like that. Like that, you're going to go to your team and say, hey, I didn't do anything, nothing. She's completely 100% lying, but then I'm going to throw money at her. I just don't know how I feel about that.
Segs, I'm 100% with you. The two-prong part of this. I, from my perception, just from my seat, you guys think however the hell you want. When you start that word settle, and when you settle and pay cash to somebody to go away, I get sometimes why you want to go away, like you said, because I just don't want to go to court or let it go. But I'm assuming, just like most of the people I've been around and talked to, that when you pay somebody to go away, that you're admitting guilt. You just don't want the guilt to go through the courtroom and have the judge stare you in the face and the embarrassment of dragging your name through a domestic violence situation,
right,
and possibly, you know, whether it's no jail time or paying a fine or on probation, whatever it is that you go through. And then that follows you around. Domestic shit will follow you around forever, even if you didn't do it. So you want it to go away. But I also, on the other side, look and say, if you're innocent, you fight that shit till the cows come home to prove your innocence, even if it takes going to court. Because on the other side, you can't be any bigger pig as a woman. I'm not talking about in this case. I'm talking about period. To accuse a dude because he's got money, or because you don't like him, or he broke up with you, or you don't like what he's doing, or he cheated on you. But to do that, and if he cheated on you, take care of it the way you're supposed to. Talk about it. But that, if you're one of those that is lying about what a guy did to you, I don't know this case, but lying about it, what a guy did to you, to basically milk him out of money, then you should be going to jail just as fast as the guy who put his hands on your shoulder or touched you or abused you. I'm just telling you, too much of it. In this case, I'm with you. If it's true that you're offering money for a settlement, my initial thought would be you just want it to go away because you don't want to have to embarrass yourself anymore when they come out with a harsh reality in a courtroom. Either side. That's my first thought. I may be wrong in this case, but let me ask you this. When a corporation and an employee go through, an HR situation or a financial situation, well, they promised me this money and I signed it, and then that's not the same, whatever it is, Sakes, you know, there's a dispute between an employee and an employer. And when the employer settles, what's your first thought? The employer fucked it up, not the employee, right? When they settle, that's your first thought. The ones that fight it to the end, you know what my thought is? They're going after their innocence regardless of what it takes. So I think it's human nature for us to think that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not in those rooms, and I wasn't with Diggs and his woman. I just know this, that I'm with you, and if that is true, then that's on you to get it to go away. And if she accepts it to go away, she didn't really care about the she just wanted the coin.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. I don't know him from Adam other than watching him play and don't know her, but I can tell you this, that it's never a good idea. And it all starts with decisions you make. Proper preparation prevents poor performance, and it does even more so in domestic situations. Stop it. Enough. I don't give marriage counseling, but I can tell you this, when it comes to relationship counseling, I know one that's all easy for all of us to study. Don't touch a woman.
Yeah.
So keep your hands off her, regardless of the situation.
Yeah, very, very easy to do. Switching over to college football, Northwestern expected to hire Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator. Do you like it for head coach David Braun there in you know, the Windy City of Chicago, just north of it?
I do say it's think about this. Ohio State National Championship. Mm-hmm. Five or a bunch of teams interested. Well, UCLA head coach, leave a head coaching job. It was with at that point in time, Pac-12 moving into the Big Ten. You're the head coach at a prominent program, even though they're trying to get better. You go to Ohio State, win a national championship. Now you're held in high regard against the head coach. You get paid $6 million to go back to the Raiders now to be the offensive coordinator. You don't have any players. You get a little too cute. Just goes to show you, even experts calling plays, if you don't have good players, you're going to get your ass fired. And that's what happened to Chip Kelly. Now he's back at Northwestern, back in the Big Ten where he was with two teams, meaning UCLA and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And now he's back there on a team that's not going to win a national championship and will not be in the playoff, which is fine. Northwestern, much respected, hell of a program. I thought Pat, when he was there, did a great job. And it'll be good for you. I can tell you one thing. They're going to be free-flowing offense that they've never had at Northwestern. It'll look different. So yeah. Whether he has success, I know this. Chip Kelly, while a great player, it's hard to do stuff with your Northwestern quarterback that you try to do with a guy like a Marcus Mariota or what they try to do with Dante Moore and Lanning now. So we'll see. I think it's good. He's staying employed and he's getting paid. And it's good for Northwestern if this is the Chip Kelly we get. But good players make coordinators' jobs easier. But the guy's had four jobs in a year. Yeah. I want you to think about that. When did he leave UCLA? Was it January or December of was it 2024 late, Segs, or early 2025?
Probably something close to that.
Say in the next 14 – within the last 14 months, UCLA, Ohio State championship ring, $6 million paycheck, fired from the Raiders, Northwestern offensive coordinator. It's a good gig if you can get it. Hey. Although – if you were going to apply for a job, they said, why do you have four jobs in a year? Your first thought would be, well, I haven't been very good at the other three. He was great at Ohio State, but guess what happens at Ohio State? You're winning 10 games. You and I, I'm taking Ohio State this year to 10 wins as the offensive coordinator if they hired me tomorrow. And I respect Chip and think he's good. The other stuff he's really good at and getting over the hump and getting a national title. But he's not going to wear a ring at Northwestern. But it's a great program and university. He ain't playing in the playoff as long as he's there.
Biggest story going right now in college sports is just kind of the eligibility question when it comes to playing in college. So we've got James Nagy, who is from overseas. He was drafted 31st in the NBA draft in 2023. Never played, was playing in the G League. He is committed and signed with Baylor. After he was drafted, like this just happened. He was just signed with Baylor. He will join the team immediately and allow him to walk in, and he could start from day one if they want him to, if they feel like he's that good. You have hockey is now doing it. Kid that was drafted in the NHL draft, played over in Russia in their pro leagues. He is now signing with a college or has signed with a college for college hockey. And I mean, I'm just to the point now, like, are we going to get this in college football where a kid is drafted or he goes undrafted and he's sitting on a practice squad and he's like, well, shit, I can go back to school and say, you know, Miami calls or Ohio State or Michigan or whoever calls and says, hey, these guys are doing it in these sports. Well, I haven't played in an NFL game yet. Why can't I come back and just start playing? I still have 2 years of eligibility. Because I left after my true junior year, so I got years of eligibility left. I mean, it's just crazy. But John Calipari had a great quote on it. Let's play that first, and then you can come out and react to everything I just talked about and what John Calipari says. Here's what he had to say.
Look, I don't blame coaches. You know, I've got friends that are playing with 27-year-olds, and they feel bad. I said, don't feel bad. We don't have any rules. Why should you feel bad? But let me give you this. Real simple. The rules bees the rules. So if you put your name in the draft, I don't care if you're from Russia and you stay in the draft, you can't play college basketball. Well, that's only for American kids. What? If your name is in that draft and you got drafted, you can't play cup because that's our rule. Yeah, but that's only for American kids. Okay. Okay. Now, here's the next lawsuit. Well, we don't have a say over European players. You do if they're playing in college basketball. So that means you don't have a say over high school kids. So whatever a high school kid does before he comes here, don't you do one thing because there's a suit. Because what you're saying is, if he's in Europe, we don't have the same rules. What?
I mean, it's
let me tell you something,
right,
man. When you walk into my house or when you walk into my home, you know, like just you being a bit facetious, the rules apply to Americans and Europeans. Mm-hmm. Just in case you didn't, you know, And when we sit at the table, I didn't make European food because we're eating on our Thanksgiving. Okay. It's the same thing here. And Cal's exactly right. Oh, but he's a European player, but that doesn't apply to a foreign player. He's playing in America under college football or college basketball rules. It's the NC2A is a frigging joke. It's an embarrassment. And we already killed the high school athlete by allowing the portal to run wild, and kids who would have normally played the portal destroyed a lot of the high school kids' opportunities that we're trying to reinvent and give it to them. That's one. Secondly, and who should be playing in college and getting educated and having a chance. Secondly, making the excuse. So we've seen that in hockey. This isn't new. What's going on with it? This has happened for a while in hockey, so it's easier to accept, I guess. But save it. Number two is how we're allowing. If you're Baylor, and here's why, Sigs. The college coaches have to answer to boosters and people. That top recruit that you recruited that is committed to you, or a player like this, you have to show your people that look at the optics. We got this guy. He's going to come back with experience because your job's on the line. They have to answer to. Because in truth, I don't know a guy in college basketball. I wouldn't think the rules allow it, so you do it. I don't know a guy in college basketball coach that when he wakes up is saying, I can't wait to go grab me a 27-year-old or 28-year-old who's been in the NBA for a couple of years playing in the G League to come back to me. Now, it's going to help your team. We see kids go on church missions and the rest of it and come back, the eligibility. We have got to put a time, an age, I'm talking about, and if you have gone into the draft and played, not like the days where you go in six, if you got drafted in the first round in the NFL and you don't sign and you don't go to the team, you go back into the next year. I get that. But this is the kid who's been gone 2023. He's playing in the G League. He's under their watch. Didn't he get to come back and play college basketball after what he's learned? Don't we all want to go back in life and say, man, I wish I knew what I knew now. I want to go back to ESPN and do TV. I wish I had known then what I know now. You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't? Mm-hmm. The rules in ours and the NC2A, I don't care if you're from Russia and can't speak the language. I don't care if you're from Japan. I don't care if you're U.S. I don't care where you're from. The bottom line, here's the rules. You're playing under NC2A college rules, not under the fact that you're doing it because you were born in Timbuktu or born in Russia or Outer Mongolia. I don't care where you were born. You come here, you're under the NC2A rules. The NC2A rules tell me, or should, you play in the NBA, you don't get to come back and play college basketball anymore or college football or golf or anything else. You lost that eligibility. It's an embarrassment what we're doing. And then the kid at home, it's just like allowing in a different way men going into women's sports, stealing scholarships when they shouldn't be. Stick to your own sport. Same thing here. You've been an NBA player. If you can't hack it there, go around, travel to Europe, do it all, find a way. Like a golfer does when he can't make the PGA Tour. Guess what he do? You got to go find someplace else to make a living. You ain't doing it on a college campus. And then he gets to come back and what? Jump into NIL too and take some of that as well? Nah, sorry to tell you, not for me. The NC2A rules, we got to change the rules. Cal's right, the rules allow it, but it doesn't mean the rules that allow it are right. NC2A rules shouldn't be different for any foreign guy as opposed to anybody who's playing here who lives in the United States. I don't get why it is, but it is. And you sure as hell, once you've set foot on an NBA court, training camp, G League, you're not welcome back in the NBA. Sorry, can't do it.
It's just, I mean, the whole portal situation / now we getting this shit in here. It's just crazy how the NCAA went from, oh, you can't transfer or you can't do this or you can't get another year to just a free for all. Like, how did we go like a complete 180 over the last decade or whatever it is, where it is just chaos? Sean, I saw a tweet earlier today. There is reportedly over 3,300 college football players in the portal. The portal hasn't even opened yet, but that's how many kids have so told their schools that they are going to enter the portal and transfer. And now we've seen plenty of stats because now we have multiple years of this where thousands of kids go into the portal. And it's something like 30% of them never find a school and they're done playing college football.
Yeah, like, Sags, let's say you're a college hooper who's a really good player in Chicago. And or since it's Baylor here in Texas, really good player. Not a five-star recruit, but a scholarship guy. that you're worthy of playing at mm-hmm. Baylor, right? You may be a seventh man. You may contribute to the team, and they offered two kids from your class, and you're one of them. And then all of a sudden, this late development happens. Everybody else is out. They've recruited now. There's no scholarships available for a guy unless you go down a division or somewhere that you didn't want to play. Your lifetime goal, because you went to Waco High School, was to play at Baylor. Two scholarships available. They gave one away to the five-star recruit because it's a good program. And then all of a sudden, they got one for you. Signing days come and say, got to yank it from you. I know it's late. Sorry about that. And you made a commitment to us early. But we got an NBA guy who couldn't hack it there, is going to come back. He's been gone since 2023 for a couple of years. But we got a scholarship for him. Sorry, buddy. I know life isn't fair. That's not about being fair. That's just stupid. And it's a rule you've created to make space. Let that guy go out. He's in the workforce now. We don't get a chance. I don't know. Can I go back and get a 6-year of eligibility? I'd like to go back on scholarship, get some NIL money, say, because I was 38. Right. Well, the way it's going now. So we don't have the rules. We have no standard. We move the goalposts when it comes to college sports more than anything we do in life. And that's hard to admit considering society now. We have accommodated a foreign player who's been in the NBA and was drafted to come back and play basketball immediately at Baylor if he wants to, which is going to take away opportunities for somebody else. If you want to come back to college, go where they're not giving scholarships. Use your NBA money. Go play in the NAIA. Play some good basketball there. And maybe somebody will discover you and give you 5 more years in the NBA when your eligibility at this point in time is up. I don't know, but to me, even that, though, I got kids with my job at NSR that the only place they're going to get recruited is NAIA. And that guy's taking that gig.
Yep.
Nah, man, I'm sorry. Well, it's for the kids. No, this is not a kid. This is a grown-ass adult.
Yeah, this is a
guy
who's already
been to the NBA. He doesn't deserve to be rewarded. I don't care what country he's from. You know what?
Hell,
that's not reserved for you anymore. Move on.
Illinois basketball. Brad Underwood just brought a kid over from Serbia, I think it was, like last week, and he's just joining the team in the middle of the season. It used to be that if you weren't on the roster to open the season, that was your roster set for the year. Now we got kids coming in that are almost 5-star type recruits joining teams in the middle of the season. College is just in chaos right now. And they
it's not the Wild West, though, Sex. No. We say it all the time. You know what? The Wild West was more organized than this.
Yeah.
And it had a better setup. Okay.
You have to get some sort of committee of the best minds in college sports for every sport. Have representatives for every single sport. Get a big committee together, and you start figuring out rules for each sport. And they have to somewhat be the same for all of NCAA, all of NAIA, all of Division II, Division III, and so on.
And what point, I know Segs, got to do it for optics and to save their job, but at what point the athlete and the coach, the school. At one point, even though the rules allowing it doesn't mean you have to do it anyway, right, Segs? At what point do you finally look at it and say, you know what? I'm a grown-ass man. It's an embarrassment for me to go back to college. Not to get a degree, to go back to college to play after I've been in the NBA for 2 years. At what point in time do you say, no, I'm not going to be that guy? Or what happens if you're the coach that says, now I'll tell you what, if John Calipari takes a guy from the NBA, then he's a hypocrite out his ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Cal is a one and done guy, but that'd be ironic. A guy who's a one and done guy, goes to the NBA, comes back and plays for him. I don't think Cal do it, but no. When is a coach going to say, you know what, man, this is actually reserved for the 18-year-old freshman. Your eligibility is no longer welcome here.
Yeah.
Segs, I'm at the point too as a coach, and I know this is wrong. If I was a coach, not as a guy helping a kid get there or the transfer portal, if I was a coach, once you go into the portal from my school, I don't want you back because you're not all in. And then when they take him back, well, we love the kid. He's been good here. He was just looking for an opportunity. Well, in the meantime, you decide to go on the portal. I've already replaced you.
Yeah.
And it may be a kid in the portal, but he won't be a kid that left my program to come back. I don't care how good you are. Once you've entered the portal, you've told me that you're banging somebody else. And if you're banging somebody else, you don't get to come back and bang me. I don't do sloppy seconds or thirds or eighths when it comes to college sports.
there's a kid at Oklahoma State who I think he's an offensive lineman, is transferring, leaving Oklahoma State, and he put out his visit schedule for, you know, he's in the portal and where he's going to go visit. His second visit is to fucking Oklahoma State.
Like, what? They got to re-recruit him? Yeah.
Yeah, they got, he's going to go visit the fucking school he's been at. This is how stupid these people are. All right.
Let me tell you what's never going to happen, Segs, and I shouldn't say never. Once you commit and go into the portal and leave my school, if you end up coming, first of all, I'm not giving you more money to come back. You can forget that. This is not a negotiation. Secondly, nobody that goes into the portal that goes back to their school is ever going to change my friggin' program. If Riley Leonard would have left the right way, he was able to left. He didn't leave. If he had left, gone there, flirted around and gone back to Duke, you know, with Notre Dame, said, no, I'm going to stay at Duke, and left there and came back. They weren't winning a national championship with Riley Leonard. Sorry to tell you. And nor was Will Howard going to win one at Kansas State. Now it's set up for them to do it. Neither one of them went back. My point is, once you leave me, you broke up with me. And I don't want to get back together because it's kind of it makes me look like a clown, like I got to beg you back. And once you decide that you're going into the portal, you actually think I'm going to try to drum up a way to raise you more NIL money. Smoke the crack pipe, dude. Wrong guy. Not doing it.
A couple more topics here we'll run through pretty quick. This Lions fan, DK Metcalf situation, continues to turn in different ways and in kind of some weird ways. The fan gave a press conference the other day, and we have some video of that. Let's just listen to what he has to say.
Really hard to get me upset, but there's two things, animal abuse, racism. Like, I get hot right away. Like, I can feel it in my face, it gets all warm. So I guess I want to be crystal clear about one thing. I didn't use any racial slurs, no hate speech. I mean, none of that stuff at the game. Actually, never. 15 years, season ticket holder for the Lions, I've never done that at all. So, to Kalen, if you're watching this, man, if you could just say that, please. Like, my family's getting threats and stuff, and it's not cool. So, whether you said that or not, I'm sure you didn't want that to happen to the family. Even if you did, like, I forgive you, man. This
hat backwards, boy. Yeah.
I don't. Like,
this guy's a complete. You know what the sad thing about it is? First off, number one is anybody who holds a press conference to have to tell us he's not a racist probably has some of that in him. He's an idiot. Holding a press conference to state which. And then do you notice the dig? He still called him by his first name to be an asshole.
Yeah.
What this guy actually needs, forget what happened in the stands. The truth is, this guy actually needs his ass kicked.
Yeah.
He really does. And, oh, Sean, you're violent. No, you get the tongue-in-cheek part of it. But anybody who thought what DK did was wrong, and this guy, we know he was egging him on, and he's still egging him on while he's got his hat turned backwards like he's a bro, and I'm going to get on DK and call him by his first name to still get a dig and make sure that he apologizes, let him know I didn't say in the race so my family doesn't have to suffer. Dude, shut up. This guy's an idiot. DK, watch yourself so you don't have to spend all that money being suspended in Pittsburgh needs you. But the truth is, in a bar, this guy needs his ass kicked because he's still an asshole.
Yeah.
He does. Whether he broke a law or not, whether he's racist, he's an asshole. And that can trump a lot of things. So he just hasn't learned his lesson and he's still in a press conference. Just stop it. Anybody needs to talk that much about what he didn't do obviously has a problem trying to explain to us what he did do. He's an idiot.
That said perfectly there. Next topic. Aaron Glenn's a moron. Aaron Glenn is a moron. Just listen to this video. Just
talk about your brand and stuff like that. How often have you seen it? And how do you get it to be seen more consistently?
Yeah, well, there was we were playing Jacksonville and I showed the team this. And if you guys go and watch the way that we ran the ball against Jacksonville, I thought was very, very impressive on us controlling the line of scrimmage, us running the ball, being physical, being violent. It was actually after the third quarter. It was 12 seconds. We ran the ball. Our guys got into a shoving match. the quarter ends, then we go down. We have a hell of a run on a physical play, and then we score a touchdown. And then we had other runs after that, and we had the passes that Brady was actually starting to get into a rhythm against Jacksonville. That was the brand of football that I want our guys to see, and I showed the whole team that. Right, defensively, I mean, there were some games early in the season that we were really, really like stymie as far as stopping the run and playing the pass. I showed our guys that. That's the brand that we want to play with. And sometimes you have to show your guys things so it could be remembered on this is how we play. And listen, I understand to the outside world, people might not understand that, but our guys know exactly what our brand is. We just have to do it consistently.
I mean, this is a game he's talking about, this Jaguars game. They lost 48-20.
Yeah, didn't they give up 50 points or close to it?
Yeah, 48.
That's their brand? That's their brand of football they want to play?
They ran one drive. They ran the ball hard, and that's the brand of football that Aaron Glenn wants. Look at this. Yeah, I had this tweet, actually. Zero interceptions this year. Your head coach is a defensive guy. You had zero 400-yard receivers. 400-yard receivers. You had zero QBs throw for more than 10 TDs. That's the fifth time in, what's that say, 6 years. Zero playoff appearances since 2010. You only recorded four turnovers on defense this year. Again, for a defensive head coach. I think the Bears had four turnovers in like three different games this year. I mean, Aaron Glenn should be fired. Now, don't even let him coach the last game.
Yeah, Segs, it pains me because I like Aaron Glenn as a human. I think he was a hell of a player, and he's done some good things as an assistant coach. But the more you talk, and the explanation he gave is all you need to know about, he can't keep being a head coach. Assistant, he's just, well, Sean, their team sucks. But have we thought that maybe their team sucks more now than they did in the past because the coaching staff doesn't have a direction or what they're doing? I do. I like Aaron, but we got to call it like we see it. He's in over his head as a head coach right now. He just is. Coaches have been fired for far less results-wise than this. When you look at these numbers, this is unprecedented shit. A college team that plays against a pro team, hear what I'm telling you. They're not going to beat a pro team. I'm just telling you right now, Ohio State's numbers are better than this against the NFL in 17 games. 16 games. They are. They're going to get a pick. They're gonna have a 400-yard receiver. That's what I'm saying. So, and it's not even the results that suck. How you got to those results? Listen to the press conference and the over-explaining. And here's where you got to draw the line. Jets fans, I love you, but the Jets trying to explain what their brand of football is holds no water. You ain't a brand, and you ain't got a brand of football. The brand of football you play is called suck. I can get this results from 11 cats that played in the frat league. Somebody's getting an interception. So is it bad production, bad teaching, or coaching? The bottom line is, if the Jets have any smarts at all, and Aaron's a solid assistant coach, we've seen it many times. Some guys just aren't made for it. I think we've proven that Aaron Glenn, a good assistant, over his head. If the Jets let this fester, he will be getting fired somewhere in midseason next year because they're not good and coaching ain't helping right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to be lucky to survive Black Monday.
How do you get into a rhythm getting beat by giving up 48? Where'd that rhythm come from?
This time next week, he will not be the head coach of the New York Jets. I think that's for sure. Isaiah says here, the worst stat, Garrett Wilson led the Jets in receiving yards this year. He hasn't played since October 12th. I mean, that's...
I hope there's a bonus on his check that's a quarter of $1 million. Says if you lead the team in receiving, you
and get don't play bonus. Half the game.
And he did it because he's been. Well, how long did you play? Till October 12th, and I still led. I promise you, as I'm sitting here, USC gets an interception, and they're not. Ohio State, Indiana has better offensive stats than the Jets do if they're playing an NFL schedule every week. They're not going to win, but the stats are going to be better than the Jets on both sides of the ball. Now, do that math. What an embarrassment. And you think they're bad. Have the Raiders and them play. Dude, we keep wanting to add NFL teams. We may need to drop a couple to add some value to this league the way they're playing. I feel bad for the fans in a couple cities this year.
Relegation like they do over in Europe where
no doubt
teams have to drop levels when they suck this bad.
Or live golf when you don't make a certain number of points or wins. We're kicking you out too, even after you gave the guaranteed money.
Get out.
You lose the franchise. Yeah.
You're this bad. You're the Raiders. You're the Jets. You're the Browns. You guys are this bad for this long. Just go away. Just go away. All right, before we get out of here, our bet of the day, as we do every single day. Tonight, you're going the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, USC -5.5 versus TCU with a 56.5 over under. Will you bet the game that you're going to with your son? Go to watch your Trojans. Will you bet on the Trojans to cover the
Fight? Get to be with both my sons. I'm excited about it. Just the entertainment value. I like watching football in person, but on TV, but college even more so. It's the camaraderie and the river walk and all that with my boys. Just being around them and laughing. Trojans are going to win that by more than a touchdown. I'd take the over as well. Don't trust much defense in a game like this, indoor, fast track. There should be points scored. But give me USC. USC will win this football game. Kind of a validation of, and we can't say number one recruiting class, even though they are, because Segs, you want to be the number one recruiting portal class, because 40% or 50% of the dudes you won the recruiting class with will be gone in 2 years anyway. So at all these schools. So I think SC wins the game, but it is a bowl game. I always wonder how committed teams are playing in a January or a December bowl game at this stage with the way the playoff is set. Give me the Trojans and the over, but I would bet the Trojans and lay the 5.5 points.
Give me the Frogs. 33-30 and the over. Give me the Purple Frogs.
There you go.
I don't know. That's just to be different. I don't really care.
You're just doing it because you just want to have something to tell me tomorrow when we get on the show. See, I told you
when we lose. Last night we didn't. We both took the Rams, but we both took the over, so we split.
Segs, I'm going to tell you one last thing. I can coach a team to get an interception during the year.
Yes,
I can coach an NFL team.
I think you could coach me to just luck into an interception in 17.
I promise you. I don't care who it is. If you give me eight free agent wide receivers, by the time the season's over, one of our receivers will have more than 400 yards receiving, regardless of where they come from or what their name is or where they were drafted. But that's hard to do. It's hard to win in the league. It's even harder to suck that bad.
This is your brand, Sean. This is the Jets brand.
Well,
no turnover, only four turnovers, no interceptions, no 400. You have to try to suck that hard.
If that's your brand, guess what? That's the brand of football you're playing. Take 2 weeks off and quit. Choose a different profession, because that ain't the one for you.
Ugh, just terrible to think about this Jet season or the Raiders season or the Browns season with Shadur.
At least the Browns defense showed up, and they're still playing.
They got something.
Commitment. I didn't say effort, because they're getting paid. Playing with commitment, trying to salvage something.
It does suck for Myles Garrett to not get the record in the game last week. And it did feel like, and they said it, like it felt like the Steelers were more worried about not giving him the record than trying to win the game at points in that game. And the Browns won the game. But, hey, Myles Garrett didn't get the record against you, so he'll have his 17th game to get
that. And as Mike Fittery says, 77, Max Duggan's going to come back and play for TCU tonight after playing in the UFL and being gone for 2 years because, we just like to have guys that have pro eligibility come back and play college sports. More stupidity. It just doesn't stop. Common sense is an expensive price to pay.
Just ask Lincoln Riley. Get on the sidelines and ask Lincoln Riley if you can suit up. Make for a drive.
Well, normally you want to go out and get somebody that can get you down to the end zone on a drive. I'm at the point where – I'm not going to crouch down to call the play because I don't want to get up.
Just sit in shotgun, catch it, and throw it. That's it.
They
got Makai Lemon. They got the big
So you want me to throw slants, curls, and bubble screens and then smoke screens screens.
Get to the 50 and then to Lane, Jacoby Lane. Just throw it up to Jacoby Lane as far as you can.
Well, those are things I can read it. I can process the information, get through the reads. The problem is, if I get to the third one, I ain't scrambling and using my legs for squats. No, so, we're going to throw a lot of quick game stuff.
Just throw it.
Yeah, there you go.
Catch it and throw it. Don't get hit.
I'm with you.
You'll die. Just
I'm still faster than Philip Rivers, though, and I love him. I'm still faster. I don't know if that's a compliment to me, though.
No, no.
I may not be faster than an hourglass, but I'm faster than Philip Rivers with all my love for him.
We watched Philip Rivers just fall down in one of his first snaps. Literally just fell down.
That's a guy who knows the room, brother. He knows what's going on. He's not dumb. That's right.
Oh, shit. But we'll be back tomorrow. We got college football playoffs starting tomorrow night. We got,
by the way, Trayvon Diggs just released. Yes. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I forgot about that.
Mike was talking about Trayvon Diggs, not Stephon Diggs, our brothers. He just got released by the Cowboys. Is this coincidence? Bad play. 2 years, was it 2 or 3 years ago? This guy's the number one, I mean, the top of the league in interceptions and a defensive player of the year candidate.
Something.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not, I mean, but you know, you start to say, well, gosh, this guy's going through this. This guy just got released by on a Cowboys defense, ain't very good anyway.
Yeah, he's been a turd for a couple years now, I think, on the sidelines. And I think Jerry just got sick of
it. And I'm not putting him into it. It's just ironic. We're talking about Stephon Diggs Day and the Cowboys release Trayvon Diggs. So interesting stuff going on in the league.
We'll see. We'll talk about that tomorrow if we get some more details. And, you know Jerry will come out and say something about it and why it happened now with a week left in the season. But we'll talk college football playoff. We got Miami, Ohio State tomorrow night, and then the other three games on January 1st. We'll start breaking those down. We'll talk maybe Mike Tomlin gone. And then
if the Raiders come open, the talk that if the Raiders do come open, matter of fact, there'd be three or four. The Jets, you should stand in line to hire Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin should get a job immediately, but we'll see. And then I want to get your reaction to the number one player in the 2027 college football recruiting class and what he had to say after he committed to Ohio State last night. I want to just get your straight reaction on that. So we'll do all that tomorrow, and then we'll start getting you ready for, you know, how the playoffs set up in the NFL and what needs to happen. The Bucs don't control their own destiny. Even with a win, they don't control their own destiny.
At one point, we had them as the hottest and best team in the NFC about 6 weeks into the season.
I'd have to look back in my notebook somewhere. I have written down when we did our top five teams in the NFL, we both had the Bucs in there. I wonder where we had them, if it was two or three.
We don't now. Nope. The Jets would have them as the number one team, though, because anything above the Jets is number one, brother.
Yes.
They cover a lot of bad ground for everybody else.
You're all better. So we'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. Sean and I with you. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bailey. Again, make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.